We have seen an increase of employees that with symptoms that have a higher percentage of COVID, and it's still on an overall percentage of our employees is not as big of, an issue. And having those extra nurses that really helped us a lot. But we are managing the numbers. It's not, as the governor said, it's not the number of beds. We have the beds available. It's the staff necessary to do that.
This is Carlos Ngoy. He's the president of Jackson Health Systems. He was part of the press conference yesterday with Governor DeSantis. We're starting to hear a variety of different reports about the health capacity in Escambia, in Santa Rosa, across the state. And I wanted to go right to the source, or one of them anyway, Scott Raines. He is the president of Baptist Hospital. We've had him on several times. He is always a great source of information and, of course, serving the community. Scott, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. So let's start there. In terms of the physical capacity, you know, beds, ICU beds, expansion, conversion capacity, ventilators, that kind of stuff. Where, and feel free to speak if you feel comfortable talking about the hospital system in our area, or if you only feel comfortable talking about Baptist, whatever you want to say. Where are we at?
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm quite comfortable speaking on behalf of both, of course, Baptist and of the health system family, if you will, in the region, because we've been in lockstep with one another from the beginning in this. And so both at Baptist and elsewhere, we are seeing significant volume increases as a result of, you know, whether we want to call it a second surge or however you want to articulate what it is, we're seeing inflow. And we're seeing inflow as we also open back up for quote-unquote normal business effective March the 4th. So there's some capacity pressures that's causing us to broaden and expand our bed capacity to the degree that we can, and we are. So it's busier, number one, because we're traditionally busier. We've opened back up for business, and we have seen a surge of COVID-positive patients that are requiring admission, and so it's gobbling up some beds. And causing us to kind of stretch ourselves just a bit to accommodate.
On the physical capacity, my understanding has been you always try to run close to capacity. That's good management of resources. You're trying to undo a backlog of non-COVID-related medical needs that obviously was a big backlog because of the shutdown. And so in that process, you're going to try to run pretty close to capacity just while maintaining the ability to adapt to a changing circumstance with the pandemic. Am I describing it accurately?
Exactly. Spot on. We've become in the industry as a whole, we've just become more and more and more efficient over the years. And that's been a criticism of the healthcare industry throughout my career. And I've been doing this nearly 30 years now. And it's been a relatively fair criticism. And so we've solved for that by becoming more efficient, by running at near capacity, by managing supply and cost, and yet sustaining quality. And so in normal circumstances, this is, you know, kind of what we do. It's normal business, and we're all pretty good at it these days. But these aren't normal circumstances, so it's sort of like calling it a bit of an audible at the line of scrimmage, if you will, to use a sports analogy. But the good news is we're all, you know, we're all on the same team and we're all on the same page, so everybody knows the play.
Okay.
So as a result, you know, we've adapted to this and we are managing it. But there is no doubt, Andrew, we are seeing an uptick in this region from the standpoint of more and more people being COVID positive for a variety of different reasons.
I had somebody tell me, you tell me if it's not true or true. They told me that several floors actually at Baptist were being converted to COVID only because of the need and because of the increased number of cases. When I hear that, at first it worries me, but then of course I think, well, in the grand scheme of management, I don't know. And that's what I'm trying to get a sense of. As a layman, I may ask the wrong question. Should I be concerned for our hospital capacity at this point?
No. Let's back up just for a moment and talk about our new normal. So it's the conversion of space has nothing to do really with the capacity. The plan to convert to space to be able to manage COVID positive patients while also caring for traditional or non-COVID positive patients is our new normal for all of our health systems. Mm-hmm. So what is true at Baptist is true at Sacred, is true at West Florida. We all have COVID-devoted areas for care.
Okay.
While we also have devoted areas for non-COVID care. So, you know, you have a respiratory distress issue, you come in, you test COVID positive, you go to area X, you come in for your total hip replacement tomorrow, you go to area Y. It's just the way we are assuring patient and staff safety. So that's not a result of an influx of volume. Now, what is a result of the influx of volume is we are flexing that space to be able to handle more patients accordingly. So this isn't a reactionary what's going on is not reactionary to the volume per se. It's just been part of the plan that we've had to broaden.
Okay.
If that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, no, it does. And one of the other things that based on everything I've heard and read is that we are much more able to smartly treat the COVID-19 cases. And because of that, what might have been a catastrophe 3 months ago is not a catastrophe now, because we know what sort of resources, vents versus oxygen, home therapy versus in-house therapy at the hospital, that those kinds of things are also making us have more power over treating the surge. Is that also accurate?
Yeah. Again, very well said. We know that remdesivir is a treatment, a medication that now we want to get inside our doors, and then to get to the patient as quickly as we possibly can. It's a COVID positive patient, so there's a yes there. There's just the efficiency of, we've been through this once, now we're doing it again, if you will, or we've gotten our experiences in to the point to where second, third, and fourth time around we're just faster and better. We're seeing, I would characterize seeing a bit of a less acute patient that's coming in the door that still needs admitted, but is not ventilator dependent. Mm-hmm. Our ventilator usage is nowhere near what some are purporting it to be. As I sit here today, I think I didn't look at this morning's numbers yet, but yesterday I only was using 9 or 10 of the 25 to 30 vents that are readily available. So we're just better at providing care than now in July compared to where we were when we saw patient number one back in March.
Yeah, no, and that's all comporting with everything else. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because, you know, you start to see these numbers, you start to hear kind of rumors, and I wanted to make sure. Scott, one of the, as you know, one of the key things that we kept hearing from the governor, and the data supports this, is that the beginning of this most recent wave of cases seemed to be younger, much, much younger people in their 20s and 30s. There seems to now be a little bit of a shift back up the age scale.
Yeah.
But I think as secondary infections to family members seem to take over, what I think a lot of people want to know, and I know maybe this is hard to answer, but we just want to know how much we're at risk. You know, I'm a healthy 49-year-old, and how much of the people who are having serious consequences, it's because they have major underlying health conditions, or it's because they're old? Is that still the general position of the healthcare community?
Well, to the degree that we want to talk about it with regards to acute illness. So if you have comorbidities or secondary conditions, you're much more vulnerable than a young person who doesn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean, however, that the young person or you as a healthy 49-year-old can't be infected. You're just better equipped to fight the infection because you don't have asthma, you don't have an autoimmune condition, you don't have a variety of other things that lend itself to you becoming sicker quicker. So what we see going on is, yes, as we kind of open back up, and quite frankly, people didn't necessarily embrace the fact that social distancing and washing our hands and wearing a mask is still very, very important to do. We saw a whole lot of people that were congregating and doing different things become infected, and that includes that 18 to 25-year-old population. That's by and large not what's in our hospital beds. What's in our hospital beds are maybe that 27, 28-year-old that also has asthma, and certainly that 85-year-old that's a little bit older and much more vulnerable. That's what we're seeing in the hospitals, but we are also seeing a whole lot of positives throughout the community that are not hospital admission worthy, that are being asked to go and quarantine because they have the COVID-19 virus.
Right. Well, that is all very helpful. We're just about out of time, but I wanted to make sure to ask you, back to the clip I played bringing you into the show, Scott, is is nurse staffing, is hospital staffing a challenge for you at the moment? And is sort of, you know, testing medical supplies, whether it's remdesivir or reagent for the tell me about those two components here. Are those challenges right now?
So we still have 1,000 employees within Baptist Hospitals, Inc., and 2,000 employees within our corporation, Baptist Healthcare Corporation, that are telecommuting and working from home. But every clinical person has been brought back to work as we open back up for traditional business on March the 4th. But where we were at then moving forward was relatively low numbers of COVID patients, and we were only starting to creep back into our traditional surgeries. Where we sit today, it's trending, you know, upwards significantly, and so staffing is getting tighter. We're equipped, but we also are, you know, maniacal about protecting our staff, having adequate PPE, making sure that it's being used correctly. And the good news is we have adequate PPE, and we are better prepared to be able to protect. You recall when we talked some time ago, Andrew, securing PPE was a challenge, and we were really, really initially concerned, but we solved for that. As far as testing and medication with remdesivir and other drugs, they are in short supply. The governor, as you heard in his press conference yesterday, there's an allocation provided to Florida hospitals, both on, I believe on the 11th and then again yesterday. Those are in short supply as far as the ability to test and result. While it's better than it was back in March and April, it's starting to be stressed because of the number of people that are getting tested. As testing has increased, so has the pressure to result, and there's lag times in the turnaround.
Right.
And all of our local health systems, both us, Sacred, and West Florida, have a limited amount of reagent for us to be able to test and result internally. So we're dependent upon the Quests and the LabCorps, not like we were back in March, but we've leaned on them more over the last couple of weeks than we had the prior month.
Okay. Well, this is why I wanted to have you on, Scott, because literally everything you have said comports with everything that I am reading in the informed sources and also from the governor and our local officials. And that's very comforting. Even though we are at a stress point, it's also comforting to know that it's not a crisis and that you guys have plans. And it's good to hear all of that information. Scott Raines, who is the president of Baptist Hospital. Scott, thank you so much for the time. And thank you for what you all do. We really appreciate what you do.
Same to you, Andrew. Thank you so much for your work. We appreciate it.